Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Right, at this time of year, wherever you're living in the country, you might notice more foxes out and about in the evening, and there's more noise from them than at other times of the year. You might be one of those people who loves to see them slink by the house at dusk, or maybe you see them as a pest and a scavenger. Well, Colly Ennis is definitely in the former camp because he's a research associate in zoology at Trinity College Dublin, and he joins me now. And if you've any questions about foxes, send them in to us, 51551. Good morning, Colly.
Good morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm very well. It's a busy time of the year for the old fox. There are lots of foxes around at dusk and the early night time. So explain to us why that is, firstly.
Yeah, it's romance season in the fox world. So there's a lot of amorous males wandering around looking for mates and marking territories and doing all that kind of carry on at this time of year. And it's quite vocal as well. So right from December right into January, this kind of behaviour will be very typical of the foxes around, especially in urban areas. You'll be hearing a lot of ruckus.
So the males are roaming. Is that what happens?
Yeah. And that's why you tend to see a lot of foxes being killed on the roads at this time of year as well. You get at this around the wintertime when the males are roaming around looking for females. And then you'll get it at the end of the summer when the younger foxes are dispersing away from their mothers.
Yeah, they're getting a bit brave though. I saw one, and now he looked like a male because he was a good chunky fella. He was sitting on the footpath along a main road during the day, having a good old scratch for himself before jumping into the ditch. Are they getting a bit cheekier with when they come out?
They certainly are. Urban foxes are really, really becoming habitualised to people being around and realising that people kind of just aren't interested in them, or the most they'll do is pull out a mobile phone and start recording them. So they've kind of realised that we're not a threat. And if anything, they've kind of copped onto the fact that we're a really good potential source of food. So they're very used to us, and they don't seem to be bothered by us at all in urban areas anyway.
So the breeding season happens once a year. So we're talking from December to February. How long is the gestation period then? When are we going to see the babies?
About 58 days. So you'll see them around March, and then you won't see them, but they'll be born then. And then it's kind of like the heads start appearing into the summer out of their den or their set, and it's kind of adventuring out then over the summer months before dispersing or staying with the parents, depending on how much food is around the area for them.
Colly, we have messages coming in on this. I saw two foxes in our hay barn yesterday morning. The hay barn is 50 metres from our house, and this listener wants to know, is it normal for them to come so close to our home?
Absolutely. I've seen videos of foxes that live under people's garden sheds in tiny little postage stamps of gardens, you know. So even in Trinity College in here, we have them living under outbuildings that are right beside residents. And we've kind of built them now a purpose-built fox den, and hopefully they're going to take up residence in that. It's right beside our new wildlife pond. But they're well used to living beside people, and it doesn't bother them at all.
Doesn't seem to. This one, here's a lovely story. We have a fox visiting our house every night for the last week. What joy it brings. Thanks to the Ukrainian boy, Alex, who's staying with us and spotted it. We live in the countryside and we feed it scraps of meat and bread, etc. And this listener wants to know, should we feed this fox all year round?
So there's two schools of thought on feeding foxes. I think that some people say do it and some people say don't. I think the most practical thing to do is to, if you are to look after your local foxes, I don't see any harm in it, but just don't get them too dependent on you, if that makes sense. So you give them a little bit of food that replicates their own sort of natural diet, eggs, bits of meat. You can even feed them kibble, calf food, stuff like that. Stuff that will replicate them, not sweets and chocolates and the good stuff we like. But that kind of stuff. And just feed them little and often. And that means they don't become completely dependent on you, and they'll still engage in their wild behaviour.
Yeah, because they're expert hunters, aren't they, foxes?
Fantastic, unbelievable hunters. I mean, like the urban foxes around Dublin, was very interesting during lockdown. They completely switched back into being hunters because there was nothing to scavenge around during those months when people weren't in the city centre. And they completely switched overnight and just started killing all the pigeons that were around. It was incredible to watch from a naturalist point of view.
Mm-hmm. Some of them, I said I saw the fox and scratching himself, but some of them look a bit mangy where the fur is missing. Is the policy not to intervene if you see that?
Generally, yeah, but you know, we've intervened in here in the college to save some of our foxes that have had mange, and that's, you know, it's awful to see any animal suffer, and with a lot of the wildlife rescue groups, they'll intervene to if you see a bad case, because mange in a fox, it's a really horrible end if they get a severe case, because they just really destroys them. So. Yeah, you don't see any animals suffer.
Colly, on another matter, Caroline O'Doherty in the Irish Independent today tells us that the Department of Agriculture wants us to eat more venison, which is part of a plan to curb the number of deer in the countryside. Other people suggesting a cull. What do you make of that?
It sounds counterproductive if from a love of nature point of view, but it really is important to get the deer numbers under control. We have no natural predators in Ireland. We have no wolves. We have no big cats going around keeping their numbers in check. If we want our native forests to start to recover or to increase broadleaf cover, we need to control the deer numbers, because once deer or sheep are free roaming on land, you don't get that natural progression from seed into adult tree that you would in a wild forest. They just munch anything that's on the ground that's below their head height, and it really is devastating for, you know, regrowth and rejuvenation in our woodlands that should be happening.
We heard we had a chat here on the program about culling deer in the past, and we heard that it doesn't work, because if you take out the head deer, then there's no control in the group and the breeding actually increases.
Yeah. Again, there's a lot of arguments between naturalists as to what works and what doesn't. There's a lot of suggestions of even, you know, feeding female deers contraceptives that will kind of control the numbers of breeding. I think from a practical point of view, though, if you are to just consistently take out a certain number of deer every year, year upon year, for my mind, I think it's a very practical way, along with other measures such as fencing off areas to keep the deer out, to let natural regeneration happen. I think it is important to start considering these measures.
Colly, thanks very much for talking to us. Colly Ennis there from the Department of Zoology in Trinity College Dublin. The Friday Gathering is next.
Today with Claire Byrne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.